Welcome to you, though, to those of you who are visiting this morning, as David has already welcomed you. And my name is Adrian, and I've served as the pastor here at Oaks Baptist Church. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What does a Christian look like? What does a Christian look like? Perhaps if we were to ask the world around us what a Christian looked like, we might get this as an image. And perhaps to our friends from Holland, perhaps this might not mean too much. But this is a lady called Dot Cotton, who is a character in the soap drama EastEnders, and is perhaps the best known Christian in the United Kingdom. Not always, perhaps, for the right reasons, but she has her heart in the right place. But so that's a Dot Cotton. Maybe that's the image that you would see of a Christian, or what a Christian should look like. Or if we were to look from an American context or a wider context, perhaps someone like Ned Flanders. Those of you who ever watched The Simpsons will know the kind of character that Ned is. And We'll often intervene just at the wrong moment with a helpful Christian word for the situation. Maybe we can get images like that fixed in our heads and in our minds. But of course, as far as the physical appearance of the followers of Jesus Christ, what do they look like? They look like you and me. And what a fine-looking bunch we all are, aren't we? Especially on a morning when we've lost an hour's sleep somewhere. What a fine-looking bunch we are. But we're going to read from the Bible, and let's try and hear from God's Word what this says that Christians should be like. Let's hear from God's Word. A reading from Colossians chapter 3. Verses 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, if we were asked to describe a Christian, well, it certainly shouldn't be based on physical appearance or race or background or status or profession or anything that can be seen on the outside. You know, one of the most beautiful things about the followers, the community of the followers of Jesus Christ, is that it is so diverse. We find followers of Jesus in all places, from all backgrounds, from the richest of people to the poorest of people, from those who have had a privileged background to those who have struggled day by day. We find Christians from all backgrounds. But what does define us as Christians is our relationship with Jesus, and how that relationship changes the way that we live our lives and the way that we treat each other. That's something that should be significant and evident in all of the lives of all of the followers of Jesus. And in this letter that we've read from this morning, this letter to the Colossian Christians that the Apostle Paul writes to them, he says in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I wonder what's ruling in your heart right now. I wonder what the dominant issue is in your life today. What are your fears? What are your concerns? Maybe it's something that's threatening to overwhelm you this morning. Something so big that you can't see round it or over it or under it or through it. Something that is just there as a block in front of you. What's ruling your heart right now? And what Paul says is, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Notice that he doesn't say, work really, really hard at making the peace of Christ rule in your heart. It doesn't say, do your very best at keeping all the rules and regulations so that you can know the peace of Christ in your heart. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let him rule. You know, God wants above all things for you and me to know his peace in our lives. Jesus wanted his closest friends to know that day when they gathered together in Jerusalem. The coming days would see Jesus arrested and accused. The coming days would see Jesus beaten and mocked. The disciples themselves would be accused, and they would even run away and deny Jesus. They would watch from afar as Jesus was paraded through the streets, as Jesus was taken and he was flogged to a point that he would be beyond recognition. And then they would watch on and see as their friend, their Lord, their master, was nailed to a Roman cross and died, carrying the sins of the world upon himself. And to prepare them for all of that, to get them ready to face those days, what did Jesus say to them? Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You know, being a follower of Jesus, it doesn't take us out of the problems or the challenges. And if anyone has ever tried to tell you that, then challenge them. Because it doesn't take us out of the problems and the difficulties or the struggles. Because, you see, the one that we follow, Jesus himself, went through all of those things. So should we be excused them? No. But the promise, his promise, is of peace in and through those trials. His peace as we allow him to rule and to reign in our lives. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And as followers of Jesus, what is it that we are shaped by? What is it that we're influenced by? Now, some of you may have noticed recently that there's been something on the news and in the television about called Brexit. Anyone notice something like that going on? Some of you may even have tuned in at some point and watched a bit of the coverage. But if you have been following the coverage in whatever way, you'll see how different politicians have been influenced by different things at different times. For some of them, it's very much been about party loyalty. For others, it's about a loyalty to a certain ideology. Some have been prepared to change their decisions based on the decisions of others, sometimes on an hourly basis. Sometimes MPs have followed the party line, and sometimes they have gone against party line. And each one of them, as they've been interviewed, has spoken of the things that have influenced them and affected their decisions. I wonder what it is that you allow to shape and inform your decisions. Maybe you're influenced by the news, the newspapers, the things you read, the things you hear on the radio. Maybe you're influenced by social media, the messages that you receive, and the news that comes to you that way. Maybe you're influenced by friends and family. All of those things can be positive things. All of them can be helpful. But not always. Sometimes we can lead down a false path, down the wrong path. What Paul writes in his letter to the Colossians is this: let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let the message of Christ dwell among you. Allow God to speak to you through his word that is found in Jesus Christ. And how do we know about Jesus? We open up our Bibles and we read. Or we log on to our Bibles and we listen. We take time to think about God's word, to study it, to question it. We listen, we allow ourselves to be influenced by God's word to us, the message of Christ. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness. Scripture is God-breathed. God breathes his life into us. As we come, we open our Bibles and allow the Holy Spirit to help us to understand and to respond to his word to us. What are we allowing to influence us? What place do we put the Bible in the things that influence us? Would we put it anywhere on this page? Or are we more influenced by Facebook or by our friends or even the things that are happening around us in the world? Or do we allow the message of Christ to dwell in us, to dwell amongst us? Are we allowing God to speak? So as the followers of Jesus, we're those who are shaped by God's words to us. We're those who are open and allow God's peace to be at work in us. And then the final aspect that Paul's touched on here is that whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? What does it mean to do something in the name of somebody else? Well, we used, aren't we, to a name being a string of letters that tells people who we are. That's what we're used to a name as. At the time that this letter, a name meant more than that in some ways. A name signified everything about a person. So we're called to do something because of the very being, because of all that Jesus is and all that Jesus means to us, to serve in his name. I've got a book of first class stamps here. You'll know this week a first class stamp went up to 70 pence. That's right, 70 pence, a first class stamp. So I've got two of them left in this book. And those of you who know the British stamps will know that there is always a picture on them, a picture of somebody's head. The Queen, that's right. Whoever happens to be the monarch at the time, there will be a picture of them on there, somewhere on a stamp. And that's significant, because what that is saying is that the Queen stakes her reputation on the fact that your letter, when you put her stamp on it, will be delivered safely by her royal mail. That's what she's saying. And that's taken very seriously. The post office, the royal mail, work very hard to ensure that mail is delivered safely and securely. It's an offence, a criminal offence, to tamper with royal mail. It's got a reputation at Howden. And every letter that's delivered is delivered in the name of the Queen's authority. So just remember that when you see your postman walking up the road. Just appreciate what they're doing. They're serving on behalf of the country, making sure that things are delivered in a right way, in a timely way. But that stamp on there, that mark on there, recognised the Queen's authority, royal authority on that letter. And as the followers of Jesus, we're called to have that same stamp, that same mark, that same authority in our lives. That every aspect of our life is lived in the name of Jesus Christ. Lived under his authority, bearing his name, bearing his stamp. And so that calls us to treat other people in a Christ-like way. To live our lives thinking, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus say? How would Jesus react? How would Jesus love those around us? How would Jesus show compassion? How would Jesus speak out against injustice? And then as we live our lives in his name, we're called to respond and to treat others in the way that we know that Jesus would. That's the call to us. This picture here shows, a roundabout a million people last Saturday week ago, who gathered in London on that a march in the centre of London. And a million people is a lot of people, isn't it? It's a lot of people, especially when you gather them all together in one place. You can't really fail to notice a million people gathered like that. Out of interest, how many people do you think, at the last census, national census in the UK, which was 2011, how many people do you think ticked the box to say that they were a Christian? It was 2011 on our census. It asked us about faith, what faith we have, or no faith. There's an option to put no faith. How many people in the UK do you think said that they were Christian? David's got an answer? About 20 million? Lower? Higher? Who go lower? Hands up for lower than 20 million. Hands up for, if you think it's less than 20 million, put your hand up. If you think it's higher than 20 million, put your hand up. If you're not quite sure, keep your hand down. Yeah. In the last national census in the UK, 2011, there were 33 million people in this country who ticked a box to say they were Christians. We might say,
what's the evidence of that that we see in our nation? And of course, we don't know why people ticked that box and what their understanding of ticking that box to say that there is a Christian. And in that some ways, that's a failing of the church in the UK to actually help people to understand what a Christian is. But 33 million people, think what a difference it would make. If 33 million people in this country lived their lives in the name of Jesus Christ, seeking his will, seeking to be the people that he called them to be, it could not fail to make a difference, could it? If a million people walking on the streets of London can make a difference and make people notice, think about 33 million people living their lives for Jesus.
And of course, we might not be able to do much about the other 33 million, but we can do something about this life, about my life. How am I living for Jesus day by day, moment by moment? How am I responding to his call upon my life? That's a call to us. Many of you know we're following together as a church this resource, Five Things to Pray for Your Church. And week by week, we're working through a different aspect in the life of the church. And this particular week, this coming week, we're called to pray about and to pray for small groups within the life of the church. Bible study groups, home groups, house groups, whatever name we choose to give to them. That's what we're called to pray about this week. And it's a significant thing to remember, isn't it, that all of those aspects that we've talked about today of what a Christian looks like, actually Paul puts them all into the context of being together and serving together in those things. So the first one we thought about, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It says, since as members of one body you were called to peace, to share that peace together, live lives of peace together. And let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Well, yes, that's an individual response for us to individually read our Bibles together. But there's also that corporate sharing aspect. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. It's about sharing together in it. And the last one we thought of, whatever you do. And we could say, we could add to that, I'm sure quite legitimately, we could also add to it, wherever you do it and whoever you do it with, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Living our lives together. Sharing our lives together. And we're called to, one of the ways that we are able to do that here as part of Oaks Baptist Church is through the groups that we share in. And we have all sorts of different groups that meet at different times and in different ways. There's a Monday afternoon group that meets every 2 weeks that Sue Clements-Jury leads and heads that up. We have a Monday evening group that Judith leads over in Meltham and a study group there. We have a Tuesday evening group that meets on the first Tuesday of every month that Matt and Ali lead. We have a Wednesday evening group that meets together every week that David and Liz lead. We have a Thursday evening group that meets again every week that's run by Philip. And led by Philip and shared together in that at Irene's house. So we have a number of different groups that meet, and Mike and Elaine's group that meets on Thursday evenings as well. We have a number of different groups that meet at different times. The point that we're at the moment in the life of the church is that we need some more groups. There are people who would like to join a group, but because there's not space in the current groups or the times of the day don't suit then we need to be prayerful about that, that there would be those who would be raised up and to lead those groups and to host those groups so that there could be more groups praying and studying together. So that's something to be prayerful about as a church. But you might be wanting to explore being part of a group. Please have a word with myself or one of the group leaders or one of the members of the leadership team of the church. Small groups are a great place to grow and to care for each other, to explore the Bible together. I haven't prepared anyone for this, but is there anyone who is part of a small group? Would they like to just share a couple of words about why that's an encouragement to them? Why that's helpful to them? Any thoughts about perhaps your experience of being part of a small group? Anyone want to say anything of how you find it helpful? Oh, Irene.
Well, in a small group, you can ask questions. Here, we don't want to break into the sermon to ask questions. And to me, Sunday isn't enough.
Yeah.
I need something in the middle of the week.
That's a great point. In a smaller group, you can really explore and ask questions, and there's a good environment for doing that and to explore the Bible together. Anything else want to add anything about Judith?
In a small group, you can't hide. People can actually see you as you are. So, you know, you're there. You know, you're sort of denuded, as it were.
Yeah.
You can actually see each other as you are.
Yeah, you see each other and you get to know each other, don't you? And there's a lot of pastoral care. Rosalie?
You can share more in a group and confidentially as well.
Yeah, so that's right. You get to know each other and that confidence of being able to share and journey with each other together, which is an important thing. It's a helpful thing. And maybe for some people, the thought of being part of a small group is a bit daunting, a bit frightening. Another option, another way of exploring the Bible together is perhaps if there were two of you, perhaps if there were two of you would like to meet for a coffee on a regular basis. This is a really helpful resource, and as a church, we would love to resource you in using this. This is a series of books called The Word One-to-One. And the way that it works is that if there's a couple of you in a group who commit to meet together, you each have a copy of the book, and then each time you meet, you read the question, read the passage and think about the question together. Just the two of you. And so that's another option of, well, another way of being in a small group together, sharing and learning, caring and praying for each other. So don't just think that being part of a group always has to be about a group huddled round and working through a list of questions. There are different ways of exploring the Bible together. And actually, each of the groups that we have here in the church are very different in the way that they approach things and the way that they share in that together. But it's important that we seek together to encourage each other and to support each other in our witness and in our service, in our prayer, in our pastoral care for each other. So this morning we've been reminded through this letter of Paul what we're encouraged to be as Christians, to be those who know the peace of Christ in our lives. Whatever we're going through, whatever we're experiencing, to know that peace and the hope that comes from that. We've been called to be those who allow the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. Not for the word of Christ to be some dusty old book that sits on the shelf, but that it is lived in our lives as we share that together. And we're called to be those who are serving and reaching out together. And so that everything that we do, whether in word or deed, we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. For his name is above all names. And we, in his name, can have confidence and hope and peace and life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can know you in our lives. We thank you that we can know your peace. We can know
your word. We can know your help and your strength as we seek to live our lives for you. Lord, we thank you that you call us into a fellowship of your people. Yes, a church community and those small groups that make up a church community. Thank you for the friendship that we can share, the encouragement that we can be as we explore the Bible together, as we offer care to each other, as we pray for each other. Lord, we pray that there would be more groups in the life of this church, that everyone would be able to find their place and a place where they can grow and just share in your work and witness with others around them. We thank you for those groups that faithfully do meet, and some of them have met for many years together, and all that has gone on through those groups in your name, Lord. We just ask that, thank you for the blessing that is to the life of this church, and we pray that it would be a blessing that would be increase and grow as we seek to serve together, as we seek to grow together as fruitful followers of Jesus Christ. In his name we ask.